Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Floyd, Tuesday, September the 7th. We all, I mean, it's a blessing to be alive and without sound and churchy. God is extremely good. He is extremely good. Before we get started tonight, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God. Father, you have already shown your hand, your grace, and your mercy, for you've allowed us to travel safely. And God, we bless you tonight, O God, as even we are on the road, we're able to still speak with your people. God, we pray, Lord, that you speak tonight, Father, and God, that you bring the leaders closer in, and that you will be able to direct them and strengthen them in this process we call life. We bless you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, my dear friends, dear hearts, it's a blessing to speak to you tonight. I tell you, I've been on the road since 2:30, about to pull up at the destination here in about 4 miles. Traveling down to Ocala to have my right hip surgery. I've gotten a phone call, supposed to be at the hospital at 6:30 in the morning. And I'm just excited to get this thing done and to be able to move without pain. And so I tell you, I had something that I really wanted to talk to you about tonight. And as I begin to travel, you know, I heard some things and, you know, God began to speak into my heart regarding the leadership. There was some chapters out of the book of Paul Tillich's writings, and I started reading them, you know, on my way down here to Ocala. And I got halfway after reading those, and God spoke to me about something else. And so we're still in the book of The Making of a Leader, very important writings. And I think God is going to send me in another direction. And that's for being on the road and traveling, and then God speaking to you to avoid certain things and to go into certain areas on the road. So, if you bear with me tonight, interesting enough, I want to talk about direction. I want to speak completely to direction as it relates to your call. So one of the interesting pieces in chapter number 3 is it begins to speak about, in the book The Making of a Leader by Frank DiMaggio, it begins to address the different calls, and where some has looked at the calls as titles, you know, the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers, or the preachers and the teachers, I should say. And so Frank begins to really dive into what these gifts are. And as you study them, you'll discover that these 5 gifts are just governmental gifts. They are not all of the gifts, you know. And he addressed them being, you know, governmental gifts, so to speak, that is here for the edifying of the body of Christ, and that is direction. So God uses these gifts to direct his body. Now, I want to be clear about something, because as the Lord uses the gift, that means that we must submit ourselves to the Lord, that the gift is used for his glory. Now, many people get disgruntled with these gifts because they've been used as tools to manipulate people into doing various things. They manipulated people into giving money, into having them buy things or having them carry briefcases or all the other things that happen when, quote unquote, we are serving the men and the women of God. So I want to distinctively address the gift that God has given you, or gifts, and how they're used, or how God uses them directionally, right? Directionally, how God uses the gift directionally. I think it's interesting as we look at the various gifts that God has given us, they do serve a purpose. You know, they do serve a purpose. And without clear understanding, we can misuse a gift. So we want to be sure that at any given time, God is the gift giver, that we are using the gift to glorify him. Now, that's a lot of church lingo. So I want to make it very, very simple so that anybody that is listening to this, regardless if you've been in church all your life or if you just started being a part of the body of Christ, it is essentially important that we understand the usage of the gift. So, and just now we have to be pulling up at the hotel, and so I'm going to park and talk to you. So, interesting enough, again, you know, we're looking at the gifts and how God uses them directionally. So, now, as I was traveling down the road, I was actually preparing to go to Isaiah chapter 24 and talk a little bit about it, but it became more evident that something different that had to happen. You know, I have Kathy Owens in the car with me, and so, you know, she asked me a question and kind of, you know, made me think for a minute. And she, you know, because I've traveled 75 South going to Florida so many times that I never use the GPS to show me how to get there, because I've been there, done that. And so, you know, she asked me, you know, in this car, would the navigation system, you know, work if I had the radio on? And, you know, you all don't know, I bought a new car. And I said it did. And now that sent me into a serious thought, because, as a leader, sometimes we've traveled or been somewhere so many times that we get accustomed to that travel or to that place. And even though God has given us a gift to help us navigate some things that we're going through, we may feel more comfortable traveling the road that we've been on for so long. And we know those turns, we know those exits. We can anticipate in some cases where the cops are at, so we slow down because we're speeding, you know. We just take for granted that we know, you know. And so sometimes, more often times than not, that's not good. When we've been given tools to help us navigate a situation or an area that we're going to, sometimes it's just beneficial to use what God gave you and not take that route the way you normally take it because you've been there before. I hope that makes sense to somebody. You know, as leaders or servants, I should say, as servants of God, if we are instructing people to trust God, then they have to have confidence in God's navigation and how he points and directs them into a certain area. If as a servant, if I know that someone that I am serving, right, as a servant leader, some call it, but just literally as a servant, I can get accustomed to knowing what that person wants. I can get it for them. I can prepare it the way that they like it. I can give it to them when I know that they want it. And so it stops the process. If I know them, you know, it stops the process of me trying to guess or ask questions when I'm serving some people. And normally, you know, as folks listening to me, you would think that service, or as I'm speaking of it, would be somebody serving a pastor or a preacher that's about to preach and somebody's throwing a briefcase or her briefcase or bringing him or her water. And so they try to know how this person wants their water, how they want things done. But as a servant, I cannot serve God through you the way I serve some God through someone else. So as a servant, I must trust the navigational system that God gives me to deal with you. I want to try to make it a little bit more. We make assumptions a lot when we read the Bible. We think that the dialect that Jesus spoke to the disciples was only in one. And we're making the assumption that all of these disciples spoke the same language, you know. And so not giving an account that whatever Jesus said was automatically translated into that language. Mm-hmm. So, and so we assume now, because we're reading this in English, that Peter, James, John all had the same dialect and spoke the same language. We assume that, but that's not true. Jesus was able to serve them and be with them and talk to them in their language with all of them speaking different languages among him. That's interesting. You never saw that. You never. If you go back and read, they spoke different languages. Paul didn't speak the same language as the rest of them. If you remember now, Paul's journey wasn't just around Jerusalem. He went to Asia. So there had to be a different language that he was speaking. None of them spoke the same language. So how can he serve them knowing that he is probably of Hebrew descent, some were Romans, you know, some were Samaritans, which was a mixed breed. You had those that were in from Asia. You had those that were from Ethiopia. You had those that were from various parts of the different country over past Jordan. They did not speak the same language. So how can I navigate these waters to serve them if I speak my language and expect for them to understand me? Think about that. I cannot travel that road the same way if I am trying to communicate with you and you don't speak my language. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further. Oftentimes, we hear this, brothers, that, what is it, men are from Mars and women are from what, Jupiter, Venus? Okay, right. So it's indicating that, you know, we speak two different languages, right? And so me as a man cannot, and I'm going to go Pacific, I cannot take the language that I speak with my boys and try to embrace my daughter with that same language. I can't navigate the waters the same way with them. Me as a man, you know, and y'all know I'm transparent, I got three ex-wives. Women as a whole may speak the same language, but these three women speak different languages. And so I cannot deal with them the same way deal with one the way I deal with the other, because the language is different. You know, their love for different aspects of life is different. And so if I'm traveling this road, then, you know, there are times when God may ask me to detour. Can I make it a little bit more plain? Whew. I cannot come to you speaking like an apostolic man when you've been raised Hindu. Watch it now. Paul said, I become all things to all people. So, you know, can I talk Pentecostal to a Baptist person? Can I be Baptist and talk to a Jehovah Witness? You know, how am I to serve God through this Jehovah Witness if the only thing I know is my religion? Is it possible? As I serve as a leader, that, you know, and I want to make this, I'm digging now, because I'm going, it ain't deep, it's just simple, right? Jesus goes through the city, and he's doing miracles, he's healing people, people are being delivered, and it does not say that all these people spoke the same language, but one language they knew, he delivered me. And so when he left, they followed him. These 5,000 plus people followed him, and all of them were hungry. And he had 12 disciples with him and said, Lord, these people are hungry. He says, you feed them. What kind of language does Jesus need to speak to take something that was so small, the fish and the bread, and break it and share it amongst all these people? He wasn't talking the same thing. He was saying something different as they received what he gave them. Some may have been just a little hungry and was able to take what he gave and share it. Some probably wasn't hungry and wanted to wait because there was still food left after people had eaten. There was still 12 basket loads left. What language was he speaking to take this fish and bread and be able to break it and share it among 5,000? Let me go, you know, and there are so many various different examples. If you read the Gospels, Luke sees something one way, John sees it another. No one said that they saw two different things. It's just from the position they were standing, something different was communicated to them. The power in that is Jesus was able to deliver that and serve them speaking his language. The gift now is directional. That gift that God gave you is not to manipulate people, but is to direct you on how you're going to serve God through these various people that he sent your way, because they're different people. Some of them have been wounded. Some are scarred, some are bruised, some have been stabbed, some have been shot. They've been talked about. They lost loved ones. They lost a limb. They lost an eye. You know, they can't hear. They can't see. They can't feel. They emotionally bruised. They're all not traveling down the same road. But somewhere they're going to intersect you. Can you speak the language that Jesus is about to give you? I don't plan to be on here long tonight. Just traveling down the road. I'm traveling with other cars driving by me, bigger trucks, smaller trucks, faster cars, slower cars. I'm passing people. People are passing me. All of us may be going to different locations. This one road is that we're on is taking us to those different locations, and some are exiting and some are getting on, you know, and we all have these different agendas traveling this road, but we're going somewhere. Hopefully we know where we're going. We've seen cars that were on side the road, not running, some people with cars, some people without. Cars that had a tire that was blown. We saw a truck heading north on 75, parked on the side of the road, but on fire. My father said something to me one day, and this is what struck me when I was coming, traveling down 75 on my way to Ocala. My dad had a certain way of putting things to me, and I'm grateful that he did. It probably didn't make sense to me then, but it makes a whole lot of sense now. And so he got preached one night for a revival for where we were at the time, attending a ministry in, in the Austell or Marietta area, somewhere around there. And so after he preached, he stayed. And the next day, I took him home. And my father was blind. He had lost his sight, but he didn't lose his love for God. And he asked me while I was driving, and if anybody's traveled on 278 going from Dallas, Georgia, Powder Springs, Dallas, up to Rockmart, there's a road that it's a four-lane, two lanes going, you know, one direction, two lanes going another direction, it's divided. But he asked me, he said, son, what is the Lord saying to you? And I really didn't understand the gravity of the question. I really didn't. I didn't grab it, didn't understand it. And so I thought sometimes Dad would ask me a question just to mess with my head, you know. But he actually said, son, what is the Lord saying to you? And I said, Dad, I don't know what you mean. I'm just driving, you know, I don't know. And so I said, let me go ahead let me play this game with him. So, and he said, tell me what you see. And as I was riding, I passed a dead deer. You know, for those who've been in Georgia, if you're riding on that road, you'll probably see a dead deer every now and then. I seen a dog that was crossing the road with all this traffic, people flying. And when I looked up, I seen the wind was blowing because the trees were moving. Now, I didn't see wind. I just knew the wind was blowing because the trees were moving. But now, as the trees were moving, I seen these birds from a distance that wasn't moving. And the wind was blowing, but they was in the air. And I told him what I saw, and he said, in everything that you're doing, whatever you see, whatever you're doing, when you see it, that's God speaking to you. And I was like, wow. So then he said, based upon what you saw, tell me what God is saying to you. And I went back over the things that he had said to me. And I said, where there's death, me speaking of the deer, there's yet life in a busy place, because we was flying down the road, heading to Rome. The life was the dog trying to cross the road. And I said, God is present because the wind is blowing, or either there's a storm or something. I said, but the birds are stable. And then he said, the Lord is trying to tell you that yet death and life is around you. He's present, but he's going to keep you in the midst of the storm. Not left, and when I dropped him off that night, I drove back. Man, my mind was flipped, because he taught me not how to see God the way he see God, or to hear from the Lord the way he hear from the Lord, but he wanted me to open my mind to see God talk to me, not just hear the Lord. So I was riding down the road. I listened to the Lord talk to me as I saw the things that were happening around me. And that question that was asked to me, will the music play or can you still hear the music when you use the navigational system? Can we still hear God as he directs us? That's a huge question. You say, well, if he's directing me, I'm listening to him. Oftentimes it's not what God is saying that is directing you, it's what God is doing. And can you see God? Can you see him as he's speaking to you? Can you hear him talk to you? Your gift is to help you navigate the road that you are on, because that gift is going to allow you to serve God through all the people that you come in contact with. I want you to think about that. Just because you know that God has given you a prophetic gift doesn't mean you use that gift the way you want it. That's God's navigational piece for you, not your navigational piece for God. If it's a title, you're using it as a navigational gift for God. If it's your call, that's God directing you. I don't want to spend a lot of time going over this with you, but I just want to give you something to think about. Because next week we're going to talk about those gifts in chapter number 3. But tonight, not your title, but your gift is going to direct you. And again, all leaders have a gift. If you are a servant of the Lord, you are a leader. If you are a servant of the Lord, God is going to use you to lead people to him. And he will use that navigational piece that he has given you for his own glory. Don't get stuck on the road traveling the way you want to all the time. Even when you have a navigational system, sometimes it's good to turn it on. Because these new navigational systems will tell you if there's an accident up the road or whether you're about to enter into a rainstorm. Why have something that works and not use it? Well, that's all I got for tonight. God bless you. Let's end this in a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God. Just the simple things, Father, that you have given us the opportunity to look at and to enjoy. But the same word, God, that I spoke tonight is for me as well. So, Lord, I pray for the leaders that are listening, oh God, that had the opportunity just to partake just a minute to understand that the gift that has been given them is for your glory, Father, that they'll be able to navigate these waters, this terrain, this season, this way of life, that we may get to our destination, which is you. I bless you, oh God. I praise you, Lord Jesus. Father, be with your people tonight, as you always are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, dear hearts, God bless you all. 30 minutes. And so God has been good. Tomorrow morning I'm having surgery on my right hip. For those that know the word of prayer, you know, that's churchy. If you can pray and you know how, just throw one up for me. But I'm definitely going to go into there, you know, trusting and believing God. I want to be a walking miracle. Walk out of there, you know, with no limp. God bless you all. Love you.